Hey, good morning. Let's begin our study on spiritual love and jealousy and envy, how spiritual love is not jealous nor envious. I consider this, of our three studies, the most important for our daily life, in our marriages, our single life, home, church, work. It's wherever we go in life. I consider this the most important. Well, this is where we live day in and day out in fulfilling the new commandment to love one another as I've loved you. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit and under the Holy Spirit, praising God and studying His Word, that He can open our mind to the truth of Scripture. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the time that we live, where anti-Christianity, anti-the Bible, anti-you, anti-your people, the Jews, is so prominent, sometimes it's difficult, Heavenly Father, to love one another. But you've given us the power in your Holy Spirit. All we need is the humble desire to trust your Spirit, to pour that love in us. I pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see, Father, that we can fulfill the commandment in our daily life. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Now, we know why the self, our flesh self, is envious and jealous. Because it loves itself, and it feels threatened by anyone getting any praise, any reward, any blessing, and we're not in our mind. But what about spiritual love? Spiritual love is not jealous or envious, because spiritual love loves who we are in Christ, and therefore is desires to be revealed in our life. Spiritual love, as a spiritual immune system, is designed to protect your spiritual life. Let me repeat that. That's very important. Spiritual love, as a spiritual immune system, is designed to protect your spiritual life. And the purpose of your spiritual life is to glorify Christ, to have Christ formed in you. Colossians 1, we saw jealous and envy have no place, no desire to glorify Christ. Spiritual love concentrates on who and what Jesus Christ is. Self doesn't want to do that. Now, that brings us to our new passage this morning. Open your Bibles to Romans 13. Book of Romans, chapter 13. In order to love as Christ loved, there's no place for jealousy or envy. Jealousy and envy destroys your love for Christ, therefore destroys your love for one another, which of course means you do not obey the new commandment of Christ, to love one another as I've loved you. So it destroys your purpose for being here. You're not able to fulfill the new commandment. Now let's take a look at Romans 13. Romans 13 very quickly deals with society, with government, and so on. And the message of chapter 13 is simple. We're not here to clean up the world. We're not here to put out fire in Satan's world. We are here to reflect the light of Christ in Satan's world. Look at verse 1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Now, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about the authority under which Paul wrote this. It wasn't a democracy. It was not a republic. Definitely not a republic, not a democracy. And it was a time when Rome persecuted Christians. Rome had already dealt with the Jews in Jerusalem, putting it under its authority. That happened in B.C. However, Rome allowed religious structure as long as it didn't violate Roman authority. And to give you some idea of how they treated their subjects, look at Revelation 2:8. How did Rome treat their subjects? This is very important. It's rather easy today, even under a democratic rule that respects the Constitution, to respect our government authority. But how would you like to live at this time under the Roman authority? Revelation 2:8. And to the angel, that's the messenger, of the church assembly in Smyrna, write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life as Jesus Christ, says this, I know your tribulation, but, and poverty, and your poverty, but you're rich. Now, part of the treachery was economic poverty, jobs, and so forth. So Jesus Christ reminds them that in time they are in poverty, but in eternity they are rich. People, we saw this in Colossians, and we're seeing it now in Ephesians. We do not have to live in reference to this earth. We're not to. Which is too short. Your time on earth is too short. I don't care if you live to be 100. It's too short. I was working this week, and it came to mind, some of the people lived 700, 800 years. Methuselah lived 900 years. And yet some people say, oh, 1,000 years for the millennium, that's too long. Well, it's only 100 years longer than they used to live at the beginning of time, history. So it isn't that long. Isn't that long? I'm not sure I'd want to live that long. But maybe if I was able and physically and mentally and all, after 700 years, I'd be fine. But I'm kind of worried about it after 80 years here. So we'll just have to see how this thing works. But what I want you to see is that their time on earth is short. But we're here to live in reference to where our Savior, friend, now sits. Where does Jesus Christ now sit? In heaven, at the right hand of God. And there, we're rich. People, this is why we live by faith and not by sight. You live by sight, you may see your poverty. You live by sight, you may see how others are more wealthy than you. But if you live by faith, you see how rich you are in Christ. We have to know we're rich in Christ. And the blasphemy, continuing the reading now, and the blasphemy as to those who and what they believe about the Son of God by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Wait a minute. What do you mean about to suffer? I thought I was already suffering in Smyrna. See? We're already poor. See? Yes, but it's going to get worse. This all describes conditions of believers prior to the rapture and in the tribulation. Behold, that means pay attention, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. Now, it will be Rome, but behind Rome is Satan. Satan put Christ on the cross. Who put Christ on the cross? Satan, the Jews, Rome, and God. They all put Jesus Christ on the cross. They all are part of the suffering of mankind. So, this is Satan working through the Roman Empire. See? Now, Behold, pay attention, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. Now, it's Rome, but Satan is behind them. We have to know that. And remember, this is the government that they have to respect, submit to, if they're going to listen to Paul's teaching in Romans. And so let's continue now, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days, period of time. Pay attention here. What is being tested? Their faith. Your faith. All through church history, Christians have had their faith tested. Today, in, I think it was 326, a whole village in Europe were killed because they did not respond to the heathen rule. And this has gone on all through history. People, don't play mind games of how you would be. Well, I don't know. I think I'd be scared. I might even denounce Christ. Well, I hope not, because I don't want to do that. Oh no, I wouldn't denounce him. I'm strong. I'm powerful. I won't ever do that. Don't play games with yourself. Grow in the Word of God now. Learn to abide in the Holy Spirit, and He will give you the courage and the strength you will need at any time of your testing, at any time in any way. It may be in marriage, it may be in work, it may be in society, it may be in from the government, whatever. If we trust the Holy Spirit, He will give us the strength and the courage to know what to do and to be able to do it. Now, the exhortation by Jesus Christ. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful. Be is a present active imperative. Keep on being. They're to keep on being faithful. Predicate adjective. Pistis. We're to live by faith, not by sight. Keep your mind set on things above that you cannot see, not on things on the earth that you can see. Keep on being faithful. Living by faith, not by sight. Now, how are we going to do that? I won't have you turn, because we're already turned from our study in Romans 13 to Smyrna in Revelation. But Paul makes it clear, under the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22, that one of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. We're not faithful in the energy of the flesh. The flesh does not want to be faithful to God. So we must be in the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill what's being said here. Keep on being faithful, living by faith, not by sight. See? And remember, this is being said in the midst of physical suffering, and it's going to get worse. So today and tomorrow and the next day, you got to continue to live by faith. Now it says, until death. Sometimes death is a welcomed guest. Sometimes when you're just suffering so much, take me home. Take me home. That happens in life. That happens a lot often in old age. Many people are so old and so just, I know my mother, just lying in the bed, couldn't move, couldn't get up and walk around. And she just looked at me and she said, why didn't he take me home? I know I'm going home, why didn't he take me home? Ready to go home. So death sometimes is a welcomed guest, but often in life it isn't. So it says, until death. And then I will give you the crown of life at the judgment seat of Christ. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. In other words, you will continue living. Now, the early church father, Polycarp, P-O-L-Y-C-A-R-P, was the bishop of Smyrna. He was a disciple of the Apostle John. At the age of 86, he was burned at the stake for refusing to renounce faith in Christ by the Roman Empire. Now, some of Polycarp's last words were, and I love this, "For 86 years, I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" That's an attitude we ought to keep about him. When you're faced with difficulties, even death, don't think about yourself. Don't think about what you're losing here on earth. Think about him. He saved me. It's been a long time since I've studied sovereignty of God, and I'm sorry. I've been working on it for Sunday morning, getting ready for predestination, and come up with some just really super stuff from the Bible on sovereignty. And one of the most important things I've come to realize is that we owe him so much for giving us eternal life. If you will comprehend your sinful state, how you had no hope of anything after death, no hope at all, and then you read John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8, 9, it just is such a relief. That is the greatest thing he's done. So we have every right just to continue to praise him at all times. Now, being a martyr at 86, I think, would be a little easier than at 36. But the challenge is the same. Remember, this is in the imperative mood. Be faithful. And we've studied the difficulties of the imperative mood. It's the last mood of reality. See? It's the furthest removed from reality. See? To be faithful demands that we be humble. Humility is required for faith. You have to be able to say, "I can't do it. I trust you. I can't save myself. I can't pull myself out of sin as a believer and be filled with the Spirit. I can't reap blessings. I can't do anything in life. I need you." That's being faithful. Being faithful is being aware of who and what you are and how you are totally dependent upon God and His Spirit. Now, let's go back to Romans 13. Romans 13, 1. Every person, that is every believer, people, please remember, no matter what happens in your life, you are in Christ, which we're studying on the Sunday morning class. You are here to represent Him. Why am I here, Alfie? You're here to represent Jesus Christ. You're here to glorify Jesus Christ. How do we do that? By loving as Christ loved. Then, is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. So we have to realize who we are, what we're here for. We're here to represent Him and to glorify Him. Yesterday, I was at the National Tire and Battery, waiting on them to do something in the car. And there was a lady, African-American, came in. And we just started talking. And she is a born-again believer. And we started talking about faith in Christ, and I gave her one of the cards. She just moved here about 3 months ago. So I welcomed her, but I said, "If you don't really want to come, you can listen to the teaching on the internet and that type of thing." And she seemed to say thank you and all that, probably threw the card away when I walked out, but she was nice while I was there. But people, we're here to reflect His glory, His love. That's why we're here. To do it. Now, to be in subjection to the governing authorities. The Greek word to be in subjection is the same Greek word of the wife being in subjection to her husband in Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. That's the same Greek word, and we are to be in subject to government authorities. We're to listen and obey. This is important, for the word does not mean you're inferior in any way to any official. No woman is inferior to her husband. That's not the point. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of husbands try to make it, and some preachers try to make it. That's not the case. We are not inferior, definitely, to most of the Democrats that are up there governing us, but they're in authority. See? So we have to respect them and be subject to their laws. Now, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Now, I'm going to save this because we're going to see a lot more of this in a study of the sovereignty of God. What is sovereignty of God? But just to get to it, He is sovereign, and He designed human history to be under government authority. And so He established this all the way through. Sometimes it will be evil authority that's overcome and is now in control. We're still to be subject to it. That's what this verse says. It's tough, but you have to trust the word of God. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Permissive will of God, if it's an evil government. We live in a time in American history where Christians or Christian patriots want to get out there and clean things up. Put an end to the wrongs. People, you will never be able to put an end to the wrongs. You will never be able to solve the racial problems, solve economic problems, solve the problems of inequalities. Please understand, the desire to change is what got us into this mess in the first place. Not understanding biblical economics got us into this mess. First, we instituted the first welfare program in American history with our national people here, the Indians. Rather than just integrating them into society, we set up a welfare society. We take care of you. Put them on little plots of land. Then when our forefathers bought slaves that others brought here, no American ship ever brought slaves from Africa. We bought them, but we didn't bring them. Now, we try to straighten everything out about inequality. Please understand that these programs always increase jealousy and envy among citizens of this country. And with jealousy and envy come strong judgments. Jealousy and hatred. We're saying it's so big today. Hatred of white males. And white males advocate it. That's what's so interesting there. But we have jealousy and hatred of all whites, male or female, of blacks, of the Chinese, of the Jews. Oh, they just run the banking system. They have all the money. And inequality, trying to fix inequalities, is going to increase jealousy and envy. And it just is going to make it worse. Trying to change inequality has gotten us into greater inequalities, more intense involved in it. All it has done is to increase jealousy and envy, not resolve inequality. What we need is to get the body of Christ to live by His love. And the world will say, how can you do that? That's what we want them saying. They're not saying that. Excuse me. They're not saying that, but that's what we want them to say. We want them to say, how can you do that? We want to be able to do that, like with Sansom. How do you have your strength? We want them to be able to say, how do you have that love? But we don't. So, we do all this by obeying the new commandment, not the man's laws. We have to obey man's laws, but solving the problem is obeying the new commandment. People, the reason God established government and the reason for establishment is the reason for the police, judges, military, marriage, authority, is so that you can go to church and grow in the knowledge of Christ. That's why. That's why he established marriage, the government, moving along in society, authority, so that believers could go in our dispensation to the church, Age of Israel, the synagogue, and learn about Jesus Christ, the Messiah to them, Jesus Christ to us, we've now identified him. See? The military is designed for that purpose. We have the freedom we have this morning. Not very many here, but we have the freedom to be here if we want. And there are men and women who are not with their families right now today throughout the whole world so that we can be here this morning. I'm thankful to them. Thankful all the time. See? Whenever I see an older military personnel, would you tell by his cap if he has it on? Served in Desert Storm, served in this, served in that, served in... Once in a while you see served in World War One or World War Two, not World War One, World War Two. Saw one just the other day in Elliott's. Went up and thanked him. And I'm very thankful to these people. But I just read under Kooning that they're having a great deal of trouble, veterans, in colleges. The cowards and those that didn't go in the military, for whatever reasons, are giving the military that are there hard time. I don't understand that. I don't understand the NFL not wanting to stand and salute them. I don't understand it. We're going to lose this freedom. But as I love it, respect it, and I thank them for it. So the reason for all of this is so that we can go to church, learn the Word of God, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior friend. We can have the freedom to tell others of Jesus Christ. The reason our government is being polluted today is to stop witnessing for Jesus Christ. Satan does not want you witnessing for Christ anywhere at any time. He wants it stopped. Stop telling others about Jesus Christ. I wanted to tell this lady at NTB yesterday about Jesus Christ. She already knew about him. She already believed in him as her Savior. See? But we had a wonderful conversation after that. See? This is what we have in our country. We have that ability and freedom to talk to others about Jesus Christ. Had she not known, then I'd probably still be there talking to her. But it just is a wonderful freedom that God has established for us. Now, this is where we were once a great country headed. Now, Satan could not stand it. It's very interesting. Over the Democrats debate Wednesday, the Trump organization, the Trump Democrats, had skywriters over the sky that socialism will take jobs away from Atlanta. Sky written that way. Almost every one of the Democrats are socialists, communists, Muslims, anything but Republic Americans. But all of this didn't come about just now. Let me give you a couple of quotes. Lenin wrote, "Every religious idea, every ideal of God, even flirting with the ideal of God, is utterable vileness. Religion is the opium of the people," Karl Marx said. "It's the cornerstone of entire ideology of Marxism and religion, is that it is an opium of the people, and it needs to be taken away from them." Joseph Stalin. So we had Lenin, Marx, Stalin. Listen to this. "America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold: its patriotism, It's morality. It's spiritual life. If we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. So, that's what they've done. Think about this. America is like a healthy body, but we don't want a healthy body. I would have stopped right there and raised my hand. Wait a minute, if they're healthy, I want to be healthy. But we're going to destroy a healthy body. Its resistance is threefold. Patriotism, and the Democrats are so against the flag, waving the flag, patriotism, morality, and boy, they are totally against morality. We are the most immoral we've ever been. Not the most immoral in history. We're the most immoral we've ever been. Same-sex marriage. Promiscuity is so accepted today, it's not even talked about as a sin. Our morality is unbelievably pitiful. And it's spiritual life. I was surprised Stalin recognized that. But he recognized, Democrats don't recognize that. Democrats don't recognize we had spiritual life for one of the strengths of this country. Stalin did. If we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. Also, he said, the first step in promoting true communism is socialism. Take them from a republic, take them to a democracy, to a socialistic society, to communism. Alright, let's look at Romans 13, verse 12. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is almost gone. That's the age of the Gentiles, is almost gone. And the day is near, the rapture. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. This refers to the working of the flesh nature, sins, and put on the armor of light. Now, that's a wonderful statement, Paul. How do I do that? How do I put on the armor of light? See, that becomes the great question. I got to know how to put on the armor of light. You put on the armor of light. It's described in Ephesians 6 as the armor of God. You put it on in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Faith in the Holy Spirit starts you putting on the armor of God. Now, verse 13. Let us behave properly as in the day. What in the world does that mean? Properly as in the day. Alright? We have seen this as living a life pleasing to the Lord. Properly living a life pleasing to the Lord. Not in carousing. Now, when I was a teenager, we went carousing. See, that's what we call it. Well, that's not what the Greek word here means. See, this refers to riotous conduct. Festival in honor of gods, especially Bacchus, the wine god. This refers to obscenity of the grossest style. That's what carousing meant. The strongest thing we drank in the 50s was Coca-Cola, and not much of that because it wasn't just, we didn't have it at our house all the time. That was the wildest thing we drank. But to be carousing is a celebration of Bacchus, the wine god. It refers to obscenity of the grossest style and drunkenness. I think you know what that means. Not in sexual promiscuity, lasciviousness, homosexuality, any sinful sexual activity. Now, the King James says chambering. How many of you know what chambering is? How many of you know what the old English word chambering? Well, I didn't either, so I had to look it up. Chambering, it means any sexual immorality. So if you're chambering, we know what you're doing. You're involved in sexual immorality. So no chambering. I can't wait to tell my grandchildren, no one, any chambering going on. They'll look at me like I'm crazy, but I'll say, look it up. the chambering, no sexual immorality. Okay. And sensuality. What is sensuality? That's insatiable desire for pleasure, pornography, this type of thing. The United States, homosexuality and pornography have reached an addictive state. Pornography is unbelievably strong, and it destroys your mind. All of you are aware of it, but if you study pornography, it destroys your mind. You don't get to look at it and then walk away from it like some think, most think. No, it starts eating away and corroding your mind. Look at it. Look at it. Study it. Look on Google. Look on DuckDuck. Study it. It will corrupt your mind. It will eat away like a cancer on your mind. But yet, so many people are addicted to pornography. Then it says, not in strife. This refers to angry disagreement, causing dissension. And now look at the next one. And jealousy. This is why we're here. This is our word, zealous. But I want you to see, it is in the list. I want you to see the list that jealousy is placed in. Deeds of darkness, carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, strife, and then jealousy. Right in there with all of these other things. What's the cure? Armor of light. Spiritual love. Look at verse 10. Love does not wrong a neighbor. It's a fellow citizen. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Doesn't matter if you understand this as Mosaic law, the law of Christ, or the New Commandment. There's no definite article emphasizing the quality. Some people argue it says fulfillment of the law refers to the Mosaic law. Some, a few, that it refers to the law of Christ. I'll tell no one, but I will add the New Commandment. But there's no definite article here. Without the definite article, it emphasizes the quality, not identity. See, if we had a definite article, we'd be forced to identify. We don't have an identity here. Spiritual love fulfills all three. It fulfills the Mosaic law, the law of Christ, and the New Commandment. If you have spiritual love from the Holy Spirit, you fulfill the law of Christ. You fulfill the New Commandment. You fulfill the Mosaic law. Look at verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. See? Who has spiritual love is going to fulfill the whole law. Now, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Question, how? How do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's the necessity of knowing how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By grace, through faith. People, you can ask preachers, other Christians, how do you put on the law of put on Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ? You'll get all kinds of, go to church, be moral, be good. These are all indications. These are all the results. You don't put on Christ by doing those things. You have to put on Christ so that you won't do those things or will do the right things. See? So the great issue is, how do I put on Christ? Namely, put on His love. Love one another as I've loved you. By this, all will know that you're mine. So that if I want them to know I'm His, put on spiritual love. I put on Christ. Put on spiritual love, you put on Christ. So there's the great issue of putting on Christ and spiritual love. By grace through faith. The Holy Spirit is here to glorify Jesus Christ. How does He do that? Through believers who put their trust in Him. And He pours His fruit in them. The divine nine is a picture of Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is a walking picture of Jesus Christ. Saved by grace through faith. The Holy Spirit is here to glorify Christ. Listen, the more we begin to understand Jesus Christ, we saw in Thessalonians that when the restrainer is removed, who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. How is he removed? By removing the church. By removing the armor of Christ. By removing these things. He's still here. Don't ever think he's left. He will be working in the tribulation. Multitudes will come to know Christ as Savior. But when it says he, the restrainer is removed, he's removed it by removing the church. He removed all believers who are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, who exemplify and glorify Jesus Christ. See? Now, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, loving as he loves, which is on the inside, but as overt manifestation of it. See? We have the overt manifestation. And make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. See? Now, in contrast to flesh desires, jealousy, envy, strife, put on Jesus Christ. See? And this is what we're talking about. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Alright? One. Putting on Jesus Christ is caused by the filling of the Spirit. Brought about by the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's by grace through faith. Two. Putting on Jesus Christ is by means of faith. Point one. Putting on Jesus Christ is caused by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Two. Putting on Christ is by means of faith. Three, putting on Jesus Christ by thinking and living Bible doctrine, pertinent doctrine, pertinent to what's going on at that particular moment. Four, putting on the Jesus Christ is the person of Jesus Christ in you, revealed through your life. To strangers, to your family, we're getting ready for Thanksgiving. Often people get up together with other people. Are they going to see Christ? Are they going to see you? Which do you want? So, when you wake up Thursday morning, just make your prayer. Let me be conscious all day long of the love of Christ and that I love as Christ loved. So that everyone that I come in contact with today will not see me. They'll see the love of Christ. See? Point five. Putting on Christ is loving as Jesus Christ loves you. And then six. Putting on Jesus Christ is obeying the words of Christ. Jealousy, envy have no place in Christ. Therefore, jealousy, envy have no place in putting on Christ. You have to be immune to jealousy, envy. And that's what spiritual love will do for you. See? I don't know. Maybe you'll go visit with some people. They have a prettier home. They have more lovely children. They drive better cars. Whatever it is. Don't be jealous or envious of them. Have your control by spiritual love. And you won't boast if you're better than they are either. See, make no provision for the flesh, said verse 14. This is the flesh self. This is the love of self. That gives rise to jealousy, envy. Because when you are in love with self, jealousy, envy is always there to protect you. See, so you're sitting at the Thanksgiving table with your relatives and your cousin. He kind of always said it, man. And they start boasting. And you just, I can't stand it. I'm going to punch him out, or I'm going to show him I'm better and all that. You want to show him you're better? Love as Christ loved. That will show him you're better. See? That's what you want to do at the table. That's what you want to do at the gathering. See? Now, how do you make no provision for the flesh? Filling of the Holy Spirit. Putting on Christ. People, you either walk in the energy of the flesh or the energy of the Holy Spirit. You're either guided by the flesh or you're guided by the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. I cannot go here without looking at Galatians 5. Look at Galatians 5 a moment. Just to remind you, it isn't the bad turkey or the tacos or whatever it is that causes problems inside you. Let's see what causes the problem inside of us. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, by faith, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. See? How you walk by the Spirit is vital. You're either going to walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh. It's that simple. I read somebody that I respected talking about how to be filled with the Spirit, and he in a sense said, you've got to be mature to be filled with the Spirit. So that means I've got to, in the flesh, become mature so that I have the Holy Spirit. People, you don't come mature without the Holy Spirit. We start off as babies. We need the Holy Spirit to start growing in the Word of God. And he never dealt with things like this, how you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You walk in the flesh, jealousy, envy, hate, boasting, arrogance. All these kind of things start happening. See? Now, verse 17. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh sets its desire, okay, our flesh has a desire, against the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit sets its desire against the flesh. And these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. See? So there's this problem, there's this battle going on inside of us. All the time. If you sense that battle, wait a minute, I'm not in the Holy Spirit. Got to be in the Holy Spirit, he gets peace. So let's look at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Verse 17 now. For the desire, for the flesh sets this desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Please, I don't want you driving away from your Thanksgiving meal saying, I blew it. Man, I didn't glorify Christ. I got mad at this. I got mad at this for spilling something on me. I got mad because I didn't get a turkey leg and somebody else got the leg. I didn't get this. I didn't get, and I really blew it. I don't want that to happen to you. When you drive away, I want you to say, thank you, Father. We glorified Christ today. Say, pleased that you walked in the Spirit that whole time. That's going to be a challenge, because usually these meals take 2 or 3 hours. You get there on time, but they serve it for an hour late, and then it takes an hour to get it all eaten, and then an hour to clean up, and then an hour to rest, and then you get out of there. See? So you got your time to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. For the deeds of the flesh are evident. So there we have it. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes. Don't cause disputes. Somebody doesn't believe the way you do at the table, let it go. Just, you know, even if it's the gospel. Just say something like, well, I'm thankful that God did it, saved me by grace through faith, and I didn't have to do all those things. And if you feel like you do, that's your problem. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't cause dissension. Cause unity at the table, the family. Hey, this is what we're looking at now. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like this, which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will enter the kingdom of God, but not inherit, and there's the big difference in that respect. Okay, in a few minutes we have left, let's go back to Romans 13. Let's go back to Romans 13 now. We're almost through. Romans 13. Verse 13 is the environment of life without spiritual love. Contributing to the needs of the saints with spiritual love. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Now, look at verse 9. Without spiritual love. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what's good. That's with spiritual love again. How to have a life of spiritual love? Put on Christ. Love as Christ loved. That by the filling of the Spirit. That by grace through faith. Okay. Now, next Sunday morning, please come. He works out so much stuff. He's got handouts for you. And he's done a lot of work. And at the second class, he's going to be doing some stuff on dispensations I've never even seen done. So, and I have 4 years of seminary and all that. So, please make plans on being here next Sunday. And Judith and I will be traveling. So, please attend and be in prayer for Kit next Sunday. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, what an awesome God you are. First of all, Father, we're so thankful you're sovereign. That your plan will always be fulfilled. And we want to be in line with that. And you've made that so easy. First of all, you've saved us. Then you've given us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you've made the empowerment of the Spirit by grace through faith. Father, we thank you. And it's an honor that we can and will love as Christ loved. Father, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.